When you use something for a mitzvah, when you use an object for a mitzvah, should you use that same object for another mitzvah? Now, how does that relate to this week's parasha?
You have that. You shouldn't take your willow leaves out of your olive to use your...
There are many, many examples of this principle. Many examples. So, Dr. Dove just said the very common is When you say the willow leaves by the hadassim that you say.
Not hadassim, the willow leaves. You use it for the when you bang hoshan.
Oh, that's not so simple.
You're not supposed to
because that's a yerida, because the aravos in your lulav are part of the mitzvah deraisa of ulakachdem lachem. And it's a yerida. The din of the arava on sukkis. Okay, that's a very important point.
You can theoretically bang five times and give it to somebody else to bang again.
As long as the tips...
It doesn't have to be perfect. There's no din of being a shalom when it comes to...
The tip has to be...
Not necessarily.
There's
a minhag nevi'im to bang the aravos. So it is not a simple matter to take the aravos from your lulav and to use it for the hoshanis, because the mitzvah is a higher level. It's just like there's the halacha. You're not allowed to go take the ritzuis of the tefillin shel rosh and use it for the tefillin shel yad, because the kedusha, the tefillin shel rosh, is a higher kedusha than the tefillin shel yad, and you're not allowed to be married a higher level of kedusha to a lower level of kedusha. The aravos in your eged for the dalad min have been dedicated for the mitzvah the araisa of ulakachtem lachem priyetz hadar kapos from the anaf eitz avos ve'arve nochal. And to bang the aravos on the ground on Hoshana Rabba is a minog nevi'im or a takonas nevi'im, which does not have the same stature as the mitzvah deraisa. So doing that, you are diminishing its sanctity by using the same aravos. So that is an example where it's not an ideal thing to go and to lower, to take something down. Bidiyavit, if you don't have anything else what to do, then you can do it. But there's one tanai, you should not do it while the lulav is in the holder. You have to be mevatalit. Mm-hmm. You have to take the aravos out of the holder to show that no longer are you using the aravos, the mitzvah is complete, the mitzvah is over. And now, really, make it, then you can throw it in the garbage. And now, you're taking it as a second purpose, a different purpose, so therefore, that would not necessarily be viewed to be a yerida. But even that, l'chatchila, is not an ideal thing to do. But generally, we have another principle, that's a topic today, is that if you want, you have an object of a mitzvah, kevan to of a mitzvah chodah, li'ovid ba mitzvah acharite. Use it for another mitzvah. Some practical examples, people, they save lulav and esther, lulav for sreifas chametz. Okay, they use it for shreifas chametz. Tzitzis, you don't see this today anymore, but people would take old tzitzis and they would use it as a placeholder in a siddur. They would use it as a sefer. You think of any other examples? Other examples?
My grandfather used to use a lulav for bookmarks.
A lulav for bookmarks, okay. There are other examples, I don't recall other examples. Now the example that's classic...
It's for psalmim.
Yeah. So, yeah.
The hadassim, that's also the estrog, but the estrog is not valid.
They used it as a holder for the idea. You put in the hadassim into the estrog. Okay, there are different examples. I don't remember them at all offhand in this moment, but there are different examples. But
what about leaning your sitter on the tefillin box? That's when it's empty.
So to lean your siddur, it would be better not to, because the tefillin box is tashmishei kedusha. The box that houses your tefillin.
The box you can.
Right, it's not supposed to.
It's not.
Why is it not?
You don't need a box,
but it's something which preserves. It's tashmishei kedusha. Right. You can throw your tefillin box in the garbage. The talis katan you can throw in the garbage when you're finished, because the talis katan, even the tzitzis are just tashmishei. It's just a mitzvah, tashmishei mitzvah. The bag certainly is only a tashmishei mitzvah, but the tefillin box, the actual box that you put your tefillin to protect the tefillin, that is tashmishei kedusha. And that requires to be put in Seamus. So you want
it. Also,
what?
The bag is
less. The bag, not the plastic. The bag that actually houses the tefillin is b'derech klal called tashmishei kedusha because of the kesher shel tefillin. Because since the kesher was the tefillin itself was put into a box, but so the bag would then be a tashmish ditashmish. But because you let the dalid and the yud of the tefillin be exposed in the bag, and the dalid and the yud have kedusha, so the bag becomes a tashmish to kedusha. So the bag, the velvet bag, whatever they make the material, today they make them leather, all different types of materials, that has a tashmish to mitzvah. Okay, but let's discuss the classic halacha of the Gemara. And the Gemara says, the Gemara is Masech the Brachos Daf Lamites. The Gemara says the following. Now, again, everything we're going to say today over here is abstract. I mean, there's no halacha l'maaseh what I'm saying because everything here is subject to major machlokes ha'poskim, and a lot of these things are not recorded in Shulchan Aruch. This is just an abstract, sheer, conceptual ideas about, and I just found it interesting because it ties into a pshat in the pasuk of the Ekcha Pas Lechem. So let's discuss it right now. What does it mean here in the pasuk that I will take for you the malachim come to visit Avram? Well, now he's Avraham with a hey. They come to visit Avraham. And Avraham says, oh, look at that, we have guests. How nice, we have guests. Let's get into motion. Let us prepare a delicious meal for all of our guests. And he enlists Yishmael and Eliezer. They start making preparations. And Avraham goes and he also makes preparations. And in the process, V'ekha, I will take pas lechem. Torah does not repeat itself. Why are there two words, pas and lechem? Just say v'ekcha lechem or v'ekcha pas. Okay, so there are many of Rishonim, they really get worked up about this. What's the purpose of this repetition? So the most common perush that's given by most mefarshim is if you would say the word lechem, lechem would indicate a whole loaf of bread, a complete loaf of bread. Avraham only promised the angels, his guests, a piece of bread. Pas comes from the word perusa. Now, if you would just say lecha pas, you would not know what. Maybe I'm going to give you some pretzels. I'm going to give you some leftover pie. Pas by itself would mean I'll give you a piece of something. I'll give you a piece of kugel. A piece. Pas just means a perusa. A pas simply means a prusa, a small amount, a broken piece. A broken piece of what? A broken piece of lettuce? What? Pasos osapitim. To cut the mincha into little pieces. Pasos osapitim. The word pas has a connotation. I'll give you just a little piece. I'll give you a piece of lettuce. I'll give you a piece of kugel. A piece of an ice cream cone. So, no, I want to give you bread. I want to give you something of substance. So say lechem. Ve'ekcha lechem. Take some bread. If you would say lechem, lechem would have a connotation, a complete loaf of bread. I'm not so generous. I don't want to give you a complete loaf of bread. I don't want to promise you anything. So the combination of pas lechem means a piece of bread. Chazal, why was Avraham so cheap? Only give you a piece of bread. Yeah. Give him a bagel. Who put this here? Mayor, you put this here?
Yeah.
Thank you very much. A whole loaf. What about the whole, Mayor? There's a hole here.
Oh,
I'll give you. Give. Why? So Chazal used this as a makar that tzaddikim, they say a little and they do a lot. You promise. No, not politicians. Politicians promise you the world and they give you nothing. They give you worse. They give you Gehenim. They make things miserable for you. Tzaddikim, they promise you very little. And in reality, they give you a lot. Avraham is teaching us a Musa Haska that when you come, you make promises. People come to you and they need something. Don't promise something that you can't deliver. And even if you can deliver, who says you'll be able? Just promise or pledge a small amount. And then when it comes time to deliver the goods, give a lot more. Avraham ended up giving them, I don't remember the psukim in my heart, he ended up giving the people a lot more than what he promised. He just says, pas, I'll give you a little piece of bread. Then once he gave them a whole loaf of bread, massively large portions, emor ma'at va'aseh harbeh. So So that's why it says pas lechem. I only can promise you a little piece of bread. Lechem would indicate a whole loaf. Pas would just indicate a piece of something. So you need to put the two words together to say pas lechem, to say I'm going to give you a piece of bread, a little piece of bread. And when Avraham Avinu actually delivered the goods, he gave them a full loaf of bread. Each one, he gave them an enormous amount. Emor me'ad va'aseh harme. This pshat is the simplest, is the pshuta shel mikra, and that's how the vast majority of the rishonim, the pashtonim, they learn the meaning of the pasuk. However, there's a drush, and the drush touches upon this principle that we're going to talk about today. So whatever just the mafalpel and some of the concepts of this concept called when a person does a mitzvah with a perusa, kevin the oved ba, the nusach is kevin hoil the isavid ba mitzvah chada, navid ba mitzvah acharite. Now everything is, of course, this is really like homiletics. This is chassidish Jewish to read into the pasuk what it does not say. It says in Rashi, Rashi says that the day when the Malachim came to visit Eliezer, the Avram, it was Pesach. It was the night, it was Pesach. It was, I guess, it was the day of Pesach, which means that the night before was Lil Pesach. What do you do on Lil Pesach? You eat matzah. What is the mitzvah of matzah? Mitzvah of matzah is Lechem Oini, poor man's bread. Poor man. Now, what is the machus of a poor man's bread? So we know that we many of us. I mean, this all depends on how many matzos you have by the Seder night. But many people here, I'm sure, in this room, when you make two blessings on the matzah, you make a blessing Ashberchato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Kiddushanu B'Mitzvos V'Tzonu Al Achilas Matzah, and then you make the second blessing of Hamoitzi Lechem Min Aretz. Two blessings back to back. When you make the bracha of Al Achilas Matzah, What do you hold? Wait, first you make the bracha of Ahmotzi. I'm sorry. You first make the bracha Hamotzi first. Hamotzi first. And then you drop the bottom matzah. And then you make the bracha of Al Achilas Matzah. I'm just telling you what the common custom is. There could be people over here that follow the Gra. They do different things. But let's discuss now what is very common. You have three matzahs. You start out the Seder with three matzahs. Yachatz, you break the middle matzah. The larger piece you put aside for the afikomen. You're left now with three matzahs. The top matzah, that's a sholem. The bottom matzah, that's a sholem. And the middle matzah, that's a prusa. That is the smaller piece of the matzah. Now, when it comes to make the bracha of hamoytzi lechem in aretz, being that it's Yom Tov, you have lechem mishneh. Lechem mishneh demands that you have two complete loaves of bread. So that's why we have the top matzah that is complete, and the middle matzah, the bottom matzah that's complete. You have your lechem mishneh, the top and the bottom. Then, when it comes to make the bracha, the second blessing, asher kiddushanu b'mitzvos v'tzvanu al achilas matzah, the mitzvah hayom is to eat lechem oini. The ikar focus is on the middle matzah, which is a broken piece of bread. Poor man's bread. A poor man does not have a complete loaf of bread. A poor man only has a prusa, a broken piece of bread. So you drop the bottom matzah. So you should be left with, you'll be left with the top matzah. I don't know why you need the top matzah. I guess you made the bracha on it before. You made the bracha motzi lechem, and now your hole on the bottom matzah is only the broken piece of matzah, which reflects, it is the subject of Al Achilas Matzah. Okay, so now you have a broken piece of matzah. Some don't only have two matzahs to begin with.
No, after they take two shleimus, they just, for the...
The bracha of Al, I didn't know that, never heard that. That you only, when you make the second blessing, Al Achilas Matzah, you drop the top also?
Yeah, just
the middle piece? Okay, I didn't know that. You just have, but you definitely let go of the bottom matzah because you want to focus on the broken piece of matzah. So some of you want to say a very big chiddush. When it says in the pasuk of Ve'echa pas lechem, pas by itself means a broken piece, and lechem means a complete piece. And the next day, when the Malachim came to visit Avraham, being that it was Pesach, he gave them from last night. He gave them, being that today is Pesach, and on Pesach, last night we had matzah, and matzah is a prusa. So the Echa, I want to go give you the Malachim, the pas, the broken piece of matzah that we had last night. And being that it's not, you know, Bakovedik, you know, because you're a guest, maybe you don't appreciate the matzah, lechem, I'll give you a complete loaf of bread, and you decide what you want to eat. It's a little bit, and I'm not saying it correctly because I don't understand it. I didn't really prepare to go into the depth of what it means, but it's alluding. There is a question on this pasuk, why it says two words, pas and lechem. Because even though I told you the word pas means a prusa, it says pei sof, doesn't say pei samach. Posois osopitim, how is it spelled? Posois osopitim? It's also a tof. Okay, so it's not the way we commonly translate the word pas. We commonly translate the word pas to mean bread, not a broken piece. So there's a difficulty, why is there repetition? So one of the answers is, it was Pesach. And Pesach, you don't have a complete loaf of bread. However, it's not Pesach night, it's Pesach day. Pesach day, there's no halacha of a broken piece. It's shiorei mitzvah. This is the leftover of last night. Last night we ate matzah, and matzah is lechem oini. So now I want to share with you some of the lechem oini of the mitzvah that we enjoyed last night. There's no mitzvah of eating matzah by day. There's no mitzvah of having a prusa by day. That's not that the whole din of lechem oini is only a din at night. We eat the matzah at the Lel Seder. And Avraham Avinu here, we're reading this because this is a piece of Gemara, and this is a little bit of a Jush. He was presenting to them the leftover matzah from the night before as fulfilling this principle. Once you use something for a mitzvah once, you should take the opportunity to use an object for a mitzvah again. Okay, now, we're going to hold back on what I just, because this needs a little bit more proof, and we're going to come back to that in a little bit in a moment. Let's just go through the basic yesoidus, and then we're going to swing back to this. The Gemara says the Father, this is the only makar for this halacha. What I'm going to tell you now, the Gemara Masech the Brachis, and many of the Mefarshim have taken this and really gone to town, and have expanded in ways which many feel is a little bit over the top, too much. The Gemara says a story. Rav Ami and Rav Asi, ki have misrami luhu rifta de eruva. When they ate together, and they had at the dining room table the bread of the eruv. All the Gemara says is the bread of the eruv. Now, what does that mean? Rashi there in the Flamites says the eruv there means the bread they use for eruvei chatzeros. In order to make an eruv, you can carry from one courtyard to another, one bias to another. We all know you make an eruvei chatzeros. So they had the box of matzah, which was used to make the eruvei chatzeros. Now, does that box of matzah need to be in existence the entire Shabbos, to the very end of Shabbos? Not so simple. Some say it does not. Because once you enter into Shabbos Bein Hashmoshos and the bread is in existence, it has done its thing, and now the bread can disappear. And I believe that's how we pass in Halacha L'maisa. Not all of the Rishonim agree to that. They hold that the bread of the Eruv Chatzeros must remain intact throughout the entire Shabbos. If you want to be able to carry, you don't say this principle called migui de iskat soilabe, like by muksa. If it's muksa bein hashmoshes, memela, it's muksa the whole Shabbos. You don't say that when it comes to eruvi chatzeros. If you want to be able to carry, the bread of the eruvi chatzeros must be in existence the entire Shabbos when you want to carry. Obviously, other Rishonim strongly disagree, and that's not so. As long as the bread of the Eruv Chatzeros is in existence when Shabbos begins, you're allowed to continue carrying from one courtyard to the other on Shabbos, even if the bread has been consumed. So it seems from Rashi holds it of that opinion, or you want to say they no longer needed to carry. And they were eating, and they had in front of them the bread of the Eruv Chatzeros, and they had in front of them other bread. This was not the only choice of bread. And now they want to do lechem mishnah. They want to eat. So which bread did they include? So they said, mevorchin alei hamotzi lechem in aretz. They made a conscious decision. We're not going to use the elaborate challah lying on the table that they bought from Isaac's bakery before
whatever.
So I just meant to say, from before whatever happened. Okay, so they're not going. No more. There was a fire. Last week.
Isaacs doesn't exist anymore.
Borei Morei Ho'esh, there's no more Isaacs.
Just
yeah, that's right, it's gone. No more. Isaacs is no longer. What?
They'll be back.
Ephroi Shal Ayil Tzavru Lefonecha.
He said,
no, he said, I don't know, he said yes, he said no. Ephroi Shal Ayil, Ramevsky, you like that word? The Ephroi Shal Ayil. Isaac's the Ephraim Yitzchak. Yitzchak is Isaac.
He said he's not.
He's not going back.
He had enough
of this.
And that's it.
All right. I didn't mean to start a conversation on this. Okay. Baruch Hashem, you listening? Okay. So here we have a ma'isa. I want to bring out some of these sayyidus of it. We'll see. So we make brach on mitzi lechem. So therefore, they decide they're going to make brach on lechem in Eretz. Amri, and they said the following words: Hoil since this azid ba mitzvah chada, navid ba mitzvah acharite. Since we use this bread to be mekayim the mitzvah of a ruvei chatzeres, to be able to carry from one courtyard, you make a bracha. Baruch ato Hashem alkeinu melech olam asher kedushan b'mitzvah sanu al mitzvahs eruv. Make a bracha. And we use this bread for one mitzvah. Let's use this bread for another mitzvah, the mitzvah of achilas, the su'udah Shabbos, the korosa l'Shabbos oinek. There's a mitzvah, kvoit Shabbos, oinek Shabbos, to have a su'udah, and we have lechem mishneh, and you have to have shleimim. Let's use the same bread for another mitzvah. The naveba mitzvah achriti. This is the Gemara. This Gemara is the only Gemara that mentions this principle of once you use an object for one mitzvah, it is proper to use that same object for another mitzvah. This is cited in the Ramah, Arachayim Simen Shin Sadi Dalid. It says that also by Rashi the Eruv Chatzeros. Rashi the Ramah says that when you make lechem mishneh, you should make lechem mishneh on the bread in Shabbos morning of the Eruv Chatzeros. And in the Magen Avraham, he brings from the Marshal the same thing, that this is more relevant to us, because today no one is eating the bread of the Eruvei Chatzeros, because if you eat the matzah of the Eruvei Chatzeros, next week you're going to forget to do it again, and you're not going to have an Eruv, and you're going to be carrying the Shloikidin. So today people, you don't see people using the bread of the Eruvei Chatzeros. They make an Eruvei Chatzeros once a year. You make an Eruvei Chatzeros Erev Pesach, you make a bracha. Flapush, not everyone makes a bracha because there's the flapush erifs. Even if you do not carry in the flapush erif, there are many rabbanim that say that you should not make a bracha because there already is an eruv chatzeres in this neighborhood. Whatever you do, you do. And today, people, they put aside a box of matzah for the eruv chatzeres, and you don't look at it for a whole year until next year Pesach. And then you replace it. So, what?
You put it up in the...
You eat it? Then if you eat it, you can't use it next week.
Two boxes.
Every you replace one of the boxes.
Yeah.
But you have you have to say the nusach. It's not. You have to say the nusach. You say every Friday. You say the nusach. There's a whole shayla if you make a bracha.
There's no shayla. You don't bracha.
So then, why do you have every? What if you don't? If you hold it, if you don't need a bracha, you don't. So why do you have every chatzeres?
Because some people are machmas.
But if you're going to be machma, you should say the nusach then. You should say the nusach every Friday. But once you're saying the nusach, then you should really have a shalshi. You make a bracha. You should not make a bracha. All right, listen. Whatever you do is fine. But
I do the opposite. Since I made an eruv, I use that for lechemishna. You're doing lechemishna.
Okay, whatever. Whatever. You have the bread.
Erev
tavshil is where it's much more relevant because everyone makes an erev tavshil, and erev tavshil, it's only good for that day. So the minhag ha'olam is the Magen Avraham brings out the ideal thing to do is the erev tavshil is to use it for lechem mishneh at night, but don't eat it because you still really need it. You need it on Shabbos, that's for sure. But you use it for lechem mishneh lel Shabbos, and you use it for lechem mishneh Shabbos day. Technically, you really can eat it already because it's already over. It's already did its job, and you eat it by Sholosh Seudos. Seudos Shlishis is when you should actually eat the Eruvei Tavshilin. Why? Kevan, this principle. Since you've used it for one mitzvah, you should use it for another mitzvah. I've used this bread in order to enable me to prepare on Friday for Shabbos, in order to cook Friday to Shabbos, so we made a bracha, mitzvahs Eruv, once you use it. So now use it for your Lechem Mishneh Friday night. Use it for your Lechem Mishneh Shabbos morning. You're using it as part of the Lechem Mishneh. You're using it for another mitzvah. It has an advantage over other bread. Because other bread you did not use for a mitzvah. I went to the store, I bought a loaf of bread, I bought challah, made it by myself. I never use it for a mitzvah. This loaf of bread I use for another mitzvah. Eruvei Tavshilin. It enabled me to prepare for Shabbos. And I made a bracha on the Eruvei Tavshilin. So once I use it for this mitzvah, let me use it now as part of my Lechem Mishneh. It has an advantage over level of regular loaf of bread Friday night and Shabbos morning. And now when it comes to Sholosh Seudos, I don't need it anymore. There's no more time, no more events that I'm being able to use it for another mitzvah. So I might as well do the ultimate mitzvah with it and eat it. Actually, eat it and use it for and consume it. This is a common custom. This is the ideal thing to do with the Eruvei and the egg as well. The Tavshil also you should eat on for Shalosh Seudos, or even the Tavshil doesn't really make a difference because the Tavshil you're not saving for anything else. You should eat it on Shabbos anytime you want, but the bread you can use it three times. Okay, so this idea is brought down. Now here's the question. Let me ask you a dilemma. There are many, many dilemmas about these type of things, and there's no clear psak halacha, and there are many different opinions. Let's start with this, just whatever comes to mind, because he has over here, I'm using over here this beautiful sefer, Sha'arim B'Halacha, the grandson of the Tanker of. Many, when we started this year, we learned Kitzer Shulchan Aruch with the elaboration of Rabbi Brown, Braun, Sha'arim Mitzuyanim B'Halacha. It is a classic. It is delicious. We learned a whole major chunk of it together here in the Shir. Sha'arim Mitzuyanim B'Halacha on Kitzer Shulchan Aruch. Is that a tanker of? I'm sorry. I made a mistake. The Shi'anim Mitzion B'Halacha. He put a one volume. Sha'arim B'Halacha. He copied his grandfather's name. Sha'arim B'Halacha. He put out a sefer on Chumash. We use this a lot. We did the whole volume. I didn't do this chapter. Yitzchak Meir Braun. Yitzchak Meir, I believe this is his grandson, Yitzchak Meir Braun. He put out one volume so far. Hopefully he'll put out more volumes. It's on the Parsha, halachic topics on the Parsha, Mefalpel, and he has a very elaborate chapter on this principle of the rules and guidelines of this concept of when you use something for a mitzvah once, when should you use it a second time for another mitzvah? And he's mefalpel, and there's no clear psak halacha in many of these examples because the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say very much about this, and a lot of these things are just based on observations from Gedolei Yisrael, what they did, and things that they wrote here and there. So let's present some of the ideas. And again, there's no psak halacha, just some dilemmas. Question. Let us say you have in your home, let's say, Erev Tavshilin. The Erev Tavshilin that if you're using for your bread, let's make believe, was pas palter. What's so bad? Pas palter. Pas palter. You went to the bakery. You went to the supermarket before Shabbos, and they have loaves of bread. Pas palter. Or let's say, make it better. Let's say it's not pas palter. It was dough. You could have a case of pas Yisrael that there was no hafrosh aschal. It was less than the shear. The amount of dough that was used to make the bread was less than the shear of the flour, was less than 43 and a fifth eggs. It was less than the shear of 5 pounds. It was less than 5 pounds of flour, so there was no hafrosh aschala. But it's a sholem. It's bread pas Yisrael. Shouldn't make a difference. Pas shol, pas palta, whatever it is. But the point is, chala was not separated from this loaf of bread. And now it's Erev Yom Tov, and you get about 25,000 reminders don't forget to make an Erev Tavshilin, and you came that close to forgetting to make the Erev Tavshilin, and the last minute you take up a loaf of bread that you find on the table that you were not, never had the opportunity of Hafrosh HaSchala, and you make a brach, Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvah V'tzivanu Al Mitzvahs Erev, and you zog the Nusach in the Siddur with this loaf of bread, you're going to be able to prepare from Friday to Shabbos to Mekayim Erev Tavshilin. Wonderful. And then it comes Shalosh Seudos, and there's the meaning of Yisrael, those who are meticulous in this matter, to follow what it says in the Magen Avraham and the Taz, to be Koveya Suda. It's Shalosh Seudos on Shabbos, after Yom Tov going into Shabbos, and now the meaning is to eat it, for Shalosh Seudos. And you have in front of you another loaf of bread, and the other loaf of bread your wife made, she actually baked it, and she was Mafresh Challah. So besides the fact that it's sakonis nefashos, if you're not going to eat what your wife made, put that aside, do we apply this principle, kevon de'ava mitzvah chodol le'av mitzvah achrita, when the other loaf of bread also had a mitzvah? What was the mitzvah of the other loaf of bread? From that flour, you were mafresh challah. So you have a dilemma. I have in front of me two loaves of bread. One loaf of bread, I made a blessing. Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvah v'tzivanu al mitzvahs erev. On the other loaf of bread, I didn't make a bracha. I didn't make any bracha. The only thing that was done, that the flour that was used to bake, to produce that loaf of bread, there was a bracha recited. Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvah v'tzivanu al afrosh haschala. What's the bracha? Al mitzvah haschala? Afrosh haschala? Al afrosh haschala? A bracha was made on the flour. So let us say the principle that each one, they're equal, because each one, a mitzvah, it was involved in a mitzvah. There was a chalois bracha made on the flour which was used to produce the loaf of bread. And here, the other one did not have that merit of lahafresh challah min ha'isa. It could have been, but not in this case. But another bracha was min asher kiddushanu b'mitzvah tzivanu al mitzvahs eruv. Which one has kedima? As everything else being equal, which one has kedima? Let's say they're both identical. They all look identical. Which one is equal? Which one is better? Do we say, if we have a principle in the Gemara that says that you make hamotzi lechem in haaretz, amri hoil vis avid ba mitzvah chada, navid ba mitzvah achariti. Let's do another mitzvah. Both of these things have an element of a mitzvah was done with this loaf of bread. So here, this opens up a whole interesting concept. It just is really pilpul, and again, there's no real kari. Look at the two mitzvahs that were done with each item. When it comes to the mitzvah of Erev, the mitzvah was done on the entire loaf of bread. The entire loaf of bread. You took a complete loaf of bread and you said, Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvah v'tzivanu al mitzvahs Erev. And you picked up the bread and you said, Bahadein! I don't remember the Nusach Baal Peh. With this loaf of bread, I'm now going to be able to prepare from Chol into Shabbos. The bracha was said on the ganze zach, on the whole thing. That's very choshev. Mitzad sheni, when you were mafresh challah, the afrosh haschallah, you didn't make a bracha on the whole thing. The flour was osur. It was a cheftza di yisura. It's truma, it's tevel, and now you are mafresh lahafresh challah min ha'isa. What is the bracha? Is the bracha on the whole dough, or is the bracha on what you mafresh, on the act of hafrosha? You're starting with the chifsa di isura, and you made a bracha to be matir the leftover dough. Yeah, you said a bracha. You need the shirayim in order to there should be a chalois challah on the part that you mafresh. Maybe you can argue that type of mitzvah is less choshuv than making a bracha on the whole loaf of bread to serve as a hachana to prepare to prepare. Because the other challah, what are you ready to do? What are you ready to do is you just do a tevel. I took out a piece, lahafresh challah, min isa. So the isa is the isa. The isa was just until now off limits. Now it's permitted. The ikar chalik that gets kedusha is the true, the challah, which anyway you burn today. So maybe you can argue that if you really want to take, the Gemara doesn't talk about these chiluk, the splitting hairs over here. And whatever you're going to say is going to be a svara, being a raya, a zoy, and a zoy. Maybe here you don't say such a thing. Or maybe you say like this, the halach of hafrosha schala me ikar hadin is the oraisa. Now bizman hazeh it's not, because bizman hazeh we live in the first one, chutz liaretz, the whole shayla, only you have to be kibbevoichem elo aretz. It's only, it's but the ikar hadin, the principle of hafrosha schala is a mitzvah d'oraisa. The halacha of erev tafshilin, this is not in the Torah. This is it's a takana d'rabbanan. It's a mitzvah d'rabbanan. It's not a mitzvah d'oraisa. Again, chala b'smana zizlim d'rabbanan. Okay, but the concept of chala is a d'oraisa concept. So maybe when you're going to say kevon d'ovad b'mitzvah, when you did a mitzvah with this bread, le'evid b'mitzvah achariti, to do another mitzvah, we should look at the quality of the mitzvah. A mitzvah that's rooted in a din d'oraisa, svar fakert. But then you can argue, who says he's supposed to go look at the mitzvah the way it was originally? The way it was originally. Look at the mitzvah the way it is right now. Right now we're living in chutz liaretz. The mitzvah of chala b'zman hazeh is only mid rabbanan. Eruv techumin is only eruv chatzeros, or eruv tafshilin is only mid rabbanan. Or do you want to say you can? This opens up a whole world of svaras. Here's another interesting svara. What would you say about this is a svar which is an important svar, an important question which opens up a whole world of conversation. The mitzvah derabbanan of doing a ruvei tafshilin is the way it's supposed to be. There's no d'oraisa whatsoever. Chazal we have a problem. This hachana being meichin from chol to kodesh. So Chazal came that Hachon is Hachon d'oraisa, the Rabbanan, that's a big shmuz in the Rishonim. What is Hachonah? But Chazal came along and they made a takonah, made a mitzvah. The way we do the mitzvah is exactly the way it's supposed to be. Exactly, there's no shortcuts, there is no falling back on b'dievitz, it's exactly the way it's supposed to be. The mitzvah of Hafrosha Schala, it's a Rabbanan. It's true, it's rooted in a d'oraisa, because the whole mitzvah only came to us today because there is originally a mitzvah d'oraisa, but because it got watered down, because we can't do it mid'oraisa b'zman hazeh we're in galus, so we do mid'rabbanan. It's a d'rabbanan, it's a mitzvah d'rabbanan as a b'dievet, not in its purest form. It's coming to us as a second generation derabanan. The mitzvah started out as a mitzvah d'oraisa. Today we can't do it on a d'oraisa level, so we do it on a derabanan level. Okay, so the rabbanan said you can't do d'oraisa, so do mid'rabanan. They didn't make a new mitzvah. The rabbanan didn't make a new mitzvah. The rabbanan said you can't do a d'oraisa, so no, do a derabanan. But the mitzvah of a ruvei tafshilin is the way their creation. It's their original mitzvah. Question, is a mitzvah, derabanan, that's original, more powerful than a mitzvah, derabanan, that's only a spin-off of a deraisa? The rabbanan would never come along and tell us to be mafresh challah bizman hazeh, if not for the fact that the Torah told us to be mafresh challah. So the Rabbana telling you to do the mitzvah b'zman hazeh, it's not original. It's a secondary mitzvah. No, so you do it. But the mitzvah of Eruvei Tafshilin, it's choviv. There's a chavivus. Because it doesn't exist in the Torah. It doesn't exist. They invented the mitzvah. Chavivus goes a very long way. They have this mitzvah many, many times. Like a classic example is, what do you lay in first? Do you lay in first the Megillah, or do you lay in Kriya Satoira? So it depends. Purim, when you go to Shalom Purim, what do you lay in first? Kriya Satoira or the Megillah? Kriya Satoira. And then after Kriya Satoira, what do? You lay in the Megillah. You lay in the Megillah. What do you do on Shabbos, Chol Hamoed Pesach, Shabbos, Chol Hamoed Sukkot, and on Shavuos? You lay in the Torah, and you lay in Rus, or Koheles, or Shir Hashirim. What do you lay in first in the shuls that lay in? You lay in first the Megillah. So why on Shabbos, Chol Hamoed Pesach, Shabbos, Chol Hamoed Sukkot, and Shavuos, do you lay in the Megillah first, and then Kriya Satoira? Whereas on Purim, you lay in the Torah first, and then the Megillah. So what is the answer? The answer is because on Shabbat and on Purim, there's a halacha, you must lay the Torah and you must lay the Megillah. Both of them are requirements. They're absolute requirements. So if they're both absolute requirements, we apply the principle, Tadir v'she'enoi Tadir, Tadir koidem. But to lay the Megillah, Shir Hashirim, and Koheles, and Ruas, there's no halacha. There's no such halacha. It doesn't exist. It's a custom. It's a minog. A minog is chaviv. There is no rule of tadir v'she'ena tadir when one of the items is a requirement and the other is a custom. When one is a requirement and one is a custom, then you say whatever is chaviv. There's no requirement to do this. Why are we doing it? We have a chavivus. Chavivus, you go first. Chavivus always goes first. This is the dilemma. There is no answer to this question. There are two, this question that he brings up over here, goes like 20 things, brings out, is a great springboard to bring out all of these dilemmas in halacha. You have in front of you, shalosh seudos, two loaves of bread. One loaf of bread, upon this loaf of bread, it came from dough that was more than 43 and one-fifth of an egg, two-fifths of an egg. There was a mitzvah of hafroshas challah. The other loaf of bread, it was pas yisrael, there was no hafroshas challah. It was less than the shear. And now it comes time to eat the third meal of Shabbos, which is a mitzvah. We have a Gemara, and we have a Ramah that says a principle. If you have an object that which you've already used for one mitzvah, there is a principle, use it for another mitzvah. Both of them were used for mitzvahs. Which one has kedima? Now both of them, the mitzvah that it was used for was a mitzvah derabanan. Hafrash haschala b'zman hazeh midrabanan, and eruvi tavshul is midrabanan. But there's a very big difference. The mitzvah of eruvi tavshulin to a degree is chaviv. Why is it chaviv? Because it's a mitzvah that was invented 100% by Chazal, by the Chachamim. They invented the mitzvah. It doesn't say this anywhere in the Torah to do such a thing. They invented it, and they say, Yishmek Abrach Asher Kedushan B'mitzvah Tzvanu Al Mitzvahs Erev. The mitzvah of Afrash Aschala, this is a hand-me-down. It's not their mitzvah. It's a mitzvah, it originates from a mitzvah of Deraisa. But B'zman Azeh, you're living in Golos, Mechutz Yaretz, there is no mitzvah deraisa. So Rabbanan said, just keep on doing what you were doing until now, do it midrabanan. It's not original. If it's not original, it lacks chavivus. You have this in the Daf Yomi and the Longo, the same exact principle, something that comes from a drosh of Chazal, which is not explicit in the Torah, is chaviv. So when you apply now this rule, which one has kedima, and there really is no answer. Because you can say svaris all different ways. Okay, let's go to another shayla, another type of dilemma. The dilemma.
You're bringing it up by the Dharm also. If the nether is coming from the original state of the dam when it was also when meat.
Shlomim, lifnei zrikal yachas zrika.
And which way?
We have to also but the Dharm, everybody in the Dharm has his own set of rules because halach achal loshem bnei adam.
The concept, are you going on the original state or on its final?
Okay, right. Okay, and the Gemara has no answer. The Gemara has no answer to that, right? No answer. Next child, another interesting thing. This is where we have already minhagim from Gedol Yisrael who mamash they paskin on this, and it's talk is very very interesting what they paskin. Malava Malka. It's now Moitzoy Shabbos. Malava Malka. I have in front of me two pieces of bread. I have the leftover challah from Shabbos. Shabbos morning, Friday night, whatever it is. It's a prutz, a broken piece of bread. And I have a sholem, a complete loaf of bread. Now, by the way, Malava Malka, do you need to have lechem mishneh? No, you don't need lechem mishneh for Malava Malka. Should you lechatchila have lechem mishneh? So some hold that you really should. You should have lechem mishneh. But when you make the bracha, only make the bracha on one piece. Don't do it like on Shabbos. Don't pick them both up. When you make the bracha, what? No, there's no such thing lechem mishneh during the week. Malava Malka is an extension of Shabbos. It's an extension of Shabbos, so you make a pshara. Some say that you have in front of you two loaves of bread, but when you make the bracha, you only pick up one loaf of bread. When you make the bracha on Shabbos day, so then then some people, they pick up both together. You make the bracha on both the breads together. By Malava Malka, you definitely do not do that. You only make the bracha on most of them one, but should there be another loaf of bread sitting there on the table, all right, so they're different minhagim. Let's say you only have one loaf of bread. You have a choice. Prusa, a broken piece of bread, but it's leftovers from Shabbos, and you have a complete loaf of bread that was not used, it's fresh, it was not used on Shabbos. Which one should you recite the Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz? Now we can ask the same exact question during the week. See, Mitzvah Shabbos is a little bit different because Mitzvah Shabbos, it carries from it the Kedusha of Shabbos. Let's go to the week. In the laws of brachas, laws of blessing, brachas, during the week, you have in front of you on during the week, you have two pieces of bread. One piece of bread is complete, and one is a whole loaf.
A leftover from Shabbos.
Not a leftover. Let's discuss not a leftover. Let's discuss, you are on your table, there is a roll that is complete, and there's a slice of bread. Which one now? And you're planning to, and you can eat either or. So it's one thing if I don't want to eat the roll. If you don't want to eat, you don't want to eat. We're discussing a case that really makes no difference to you. And let's say you're going to eat them both. You're going to eat the roll and the slice of bread. Let's make it very, very simple. You are planning to eat them both. I'm planning to eat this roll and I'm planning to eat the slice of bread. Which one should you make the bracha on? It's halacha psuka. You make the bracha on the sholem. That's because it's not Shabbos. When you make a bracha, the bracha, there's a kedima in the seder habrachas. Just like when it comes to the zayin minim, if you have in front of you the zayin minim, there's an order. Which one goes first? Chitus, Ora, Geffen, Rimon, Zay, Shem, Nudvash. Probably left out something over there. There's a kedima. It says the word eretz. There's a whole set of rules. Which one comes first? If you have on the table in front of you grapes and an apple, of course you make the bracha on the grapes. Something from the Zayin Minim comes first, and you have all these complicated shilas. Well, let's say one is more chaviv. Does chaviv trump from the Zayin Minim? Okay, the point is there are very specific, detailed laws teaching you there is a kedima on the bracha. When you make a bracha and you say Hashem's name, there is a principle. The bracha should be said on the most appropriate object present, because that enhances the sanctity, the kavod of Hashem, that you make the bracha on the most appropriate thing. It's not a kavod of Hashem to make a bracha on something that is, you know, that is lowly in the eyes of people. If you have a choice in front of you, that's part of the laws of brachas. So what happens during the week? You have a broken piece of bread, and you have a complete roll, and you're going to eat them both. Which one do you make the bracha? So the halacha, Shulchan Aruch, you make the bracha on the complete, the sholem. The dinim of sholem is not only on Shabbos, it's during the week. During the week, you don't need a shleimim, but if you're going to make a bracha anyway, and you have in front of you a sholem, you should make a bracha on the sholem. This is very relevant. You go to a wedding, and you wash by a wedding, and on the table, you know, there are, you know, they have different, there's bread, okay, and many times they have rolls.
Everyone gets, it all depends,
they get rolls, and then there are other things. Well, let's say someone already sliced, there are pieces of bread, and...
You have a piece of the chassan's cow.
They don't do that anymore. They still do that.
Yeah, so what do you take?
And you come late? No, so you take... No, you take a sholem. If you're washing now for the first time and you have in front of you a slice of bread and you have a complete roll, you're supposed to make the bracha on the sholem. because you're saying Hashem's name, it's a disgrace to Hashem. I have a shalom and I have a bro, and to me it makes no difference. All the bread, they're going to take away all the bread anyway at the end of the wedding, they're going to give it out to poor people, so it doesn't make a difference to me. So you make Hashem's name on the shalom.
Yeah, but if you leave the shalom, they'll take it and give it away. If you use,
I don't know if you, I don't think you're mechuyev to make that calculation. I don't. I hear what you're saying.
So
Dr. Dov is saying is at the end of the wedding, there are many organizations that come, they take away all the bread and they give it to poor people. So if you go and if you take the shalem and you take a piece out of it, then they're not going to take it away. They're not going to take it away. So you're causing a poor person to lose. So on the other hand, you're being mezalzel in Hashem's name by not making the bracha. I would imagine that it's not your cheshbon to worry about what's going to happen when the wedding is over, who's going to get the bread. Right now, you have an opportunity to mekadesh Hashem Shemayim, and if you have in front of you a shalom, you should be mekadesh Hashem Shemayim on the shalom. That's what it means. You go to the wedding, they invite you to the wedding. That's part of the deal.
Mekadesh Hashem Shemayim by leaving this over for the other.
I hear what you're saying. It doesn't sound right. It doesn't sound like you're supposed to make that cheshbon. The people who invited you to the wedding, they don't want you to make that calculation. That's not. If you accepted the invitation to come to the wedding, that's the cheshbon of the people who made the wedding. What's going to do with the leftovers? That calculation does not take into account until the wedding is over. Right now, we invited you. We're giving you an opportunity to make a bracha. We're giving you an opportunity to make a bracha on the sholem. It's not. It doesn't sound right that you should withhold yourself from making the bracha on the sholem, because what's going to happen to the bulkalo when the wedding is over? The waiter is not going to bother taking it. He's only going to take back to the kitchen. The shleimim, they're not going back to the kitchen, the ones that are broken. I hear, maybe I'm wrong. You have to ask someone, a big Talmud Chacham really understands how these things work. I don't know, I hear what you're saying. But let's put that aside. So here's our dilemma. What happened now? That is a dilemma during the weekday. What about, now during the weekday, now let us say, now this is a question which there's no answer to. What happens during the week? During the week, you have in front of you a shalom, a full roll, and you have a leftover piece of bread from Shabbos. This is during the weekday. And you have the same exact shaila for Milav and Malka. You have a complete loaf of bread and you have a loaf of bread, and then you have a piece of bread that has been left over from Shabbos. Which one has kedima? So many will argue, some will argue, you can argue whatever you want because there's no kip psak halacha, and there are different stories, different gedolei show what their custom was, and you can every sheet you can find a story for a different gadol. The Alta from Slabotka, I think from the Alta from Slabotka, he quotes a Machzer Vitri, and over here Rabbi Braun cannot find the Machzer Vitri. He searched on the computer, he cannot find the Machzer Vitri. He says that the Alta of Slabotka on Mitzoy Shabbos held, you take the prusa that's left over from Shabbos. The din of Milave Malka demands that you connect yourself to Shabbos to such a degree, and you combine that with the principle of Kevan, the Avaba Milsa, once you've done a mitzvah, once you did a mitzvah you've done a mitzvah with the piece of bread was used for Lechem Mishneh on Shabbos, and now it's a prusa. That piece of bread gets sanctity, and therefore Melav Malka, you combining two concepts. Number one, Melav Malka, you want to draw from the Shabbos Kodesh. You want the Melav Malka to be an extension of Shabbos. Number two, the piece of bread you're eating was already used for a mitzvah, the mitzvah of eating on Shabbos, the karoso la Shabbos oinik, the combination of you've already used it for a mitzvah, plus the essence of Melava Malka is to draw kedusha from Shabbos. You use the prusa of Shabbos over a shalem.
The wine, you should have wine left over from Shabbos to use for your
Havdalah.
Not start a new bottle.
Interesting. Okay, he doesn't talk about that. That's another interesting principle. So the Alta of Slabotka, he's not known for Halacha. The Alta of Slabotka is known for Musa. Okay, that's not what he's known for, but he cites him that Mitzoy Shabbos, the Perusa coming out of Shabbos is better than a Shalem. Combining these two principles together, Kevin Dava Milsa Levba Milsa Chrita, together with you're drawing from Shabbos, and he cites a Machzor Vitri that says this, and we cannot find the Machzor Vitri. What about during the week? No. During the week, the Sholem comes first. Ah, oh, but it says, Kevon de Ovad ba Milsa le'evid ba Milsa achrita. That's an abuse of the halacha. Why is that abuse? Because it says in Shulchan Aruch, a Sholem and a Prusa, a Sholem comes first. Ah, oh, but it says in the Gemara, a beautiful principle, Kevon de Ova mitzvah, le'evid mitzvah achrita. Yeah, take everything in its place and time, where everything else is equal. Then you say, I use it for a mitzvah, use it for another mitzvah. But don't abuse that principle, because there's another law that is explicit. A sholem and a prusa, a sholem comes first. So Tuesday morning, you have a delicious prusa left over from Shabbos. It's delicious. It was specially made delicious. It's a prusa. And you have a sholem. Even though it's choviv, it may be precious to you, and it may be a Shabbos. Shulchan Aruch, a Shulchan Aruch. It says, a sholem and a prusa, a sholem comes first. No. Don't confuse me with a Gemara in Masech the Brachis, the Rav Ami, the Rav Asik Yavi, Misrami, Lu, Rifto, De Ruva. Don't confuse me with the facts. It's a very limited application. And you have to also be done, you know, who maybe there is Erev Chatzeros. Erev Chatzeros. Erev Chatzeros. Also, when were they eating this bread? There are many, many variables. Okay, we're not going to all the variables. Don't, I like this, what he says, because this is very much fits in with Slobodka. The Musar Yeshivas. See, this, you know, a lot of times you find that the halacha is a reflection of hashkafa. Is, you know, many times in halacha can go many ways. It's not clear cut halacha, and many times you find that the Musar affects halacha. And I want to illustrate this point. It's already talked about this last thing very with this point. This really blew my mind. This thing of halacha. This idea. The Gemara says there's a machloikis beshamayim beisilo. Who do you pass like? We pass like the Gemara says beisilo. Now the Gemara asks why? Why was Hillel zoicha that the halach is like them? So if you would stop right there and you would look at this academically in America, you would say, listen, there's only one halacha. Halacha yikoif hadin esahar. There are, the Torah was given, you know, Torah lav hashamayimi, but the Ribbono Shel'Olam wants us to take halacha, to study every single detail, break our brains, and come out with what is correct. So you would say, either you're right or you're wrong. We have a dilemma in halacha, and we have to decide. Whoever is smarter wins. Whoever has more powerful arguments, you can argue like this, you can argue like that, and present it to a team of the greatest minds in the world, and let them vote. And let them vote. And their vote will be an indication of which argument is sound. Doesn't that make sense? Isn't that, you have a dilemma in halacha. The Gemara says, no. It's a matter of midos toivas. Because Beis Hillel were very gentle, when they would talk in halacha, they would always first mention the opinion of the opponent, and then they would say their opinion. So they were nice guys. They were nice people. They're very gentle. We have a dilemma. Our friends, Beis Hillel, the other side of the other team, they hold this. We hold this. When Beis Shammai was presented, they would say, this is the way it is. There is no other side. There is no other opinion. Because Beis Hillel were Bali Midois, Toivois, and they presented the opposition first, That is why the halacha follows Beis Hillel. What? What? That's not how you paskin halacha. You paskin halacha who's right, who's wrong. Which one has a more sound argument? Beis Hillel can be the nice guys, but if their reasoning is not perfect, then you lose.
But they're even.
Either way, we go.
You lose. So what do you want to say? They're even. Just because they're even, this should not play a factor. No. What a terror. They're not always. There are exceptions to one that we, the Beis Hillel's Mamachmer as well. This Gemara is a Pella beyond a Pella. A wonder. Halacha is arguments. You're right or you're wrong. We're not all here midos toivos. This is not ethics. We're dealing here, what is the halacha? The Torah is Torah's emes. Asher nosan lanu Torah's emes. There has to be emes. We have a dilemma. Say like this, say like this. So let's present the arguments to the greatest minds, to the whole academy, and you take a vote. Achrei rabim lahatois. Lahatois. You take a vote.
Nothing to do with
your midos. You're going to present your argument like this. You can say, so we have a dilemma. They're both very good arguments. We're going to present it to a body, to the academy. To the academy. So obviously, you have to say over here, that the arguments are basically equal. Okay? Basically, that's it. And now they're equal. Now comes into play
the nice guy.
No. Flip a coin. Flip a coin. What do you mean, the nice guy? Let's say there is no Rov. Let's say they vote, they come and they vote, there is no Rov. How can you Gemara say such a thing? How can the Gemara say that a factor in the Psak Halacha is Midos Toivos? That's not the way it goes. That's not the way it is. This is Asher Nosan Lanu Toiras MS. MS is not about Mr. Nice Guy. There are people that are very nasty, but they're right. That's the way the world goes. And there are people that are very nice, but they're dead wrong. They're just, you're very nice, but you're wrong. That's not the way the world works. What? No! Majority is majority. From this Gemara, you see something that is really, really shocking. And again, we're assuming here as a very basic thing. They're both MS. Right, they're both MS. Right, they're both MS. You have no choice. And there is no Rove, because there is
always a Rove.
The Gemara doesn't say that.
Maybe there is a Rove.
The Gemara should say that. The Gemara says the reason why. That's when you have to decide. But how then can the Gemara say this? The Gemara says, I'm making this up, that the reason why the Gemara says this. Or maybe it's in the Mishnah. We go like Beis Hillel because Beis Hillel are Neuchen. That's not a factor in MS. Go bus a Rove. But the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says. Yeah, so but how do you reconcile when the Torah says you go bus a Rove?
That's right.
So how do you reconcile this statement?
Maybe that's why they voted for him. Maybe that's why they
you don't go vote because you're a nice guy. You don't go vote for Roy because he's a nice guy.
He didn't vote for him because he missed the night.
The question is greater than any answer we can possibly give.
Well, I think Midos Tovos is translated incorrectly, maybe. Midos Tovos is, let's deal with reality.
You're saying a big chiddush.
I know.
Okay, but
the interesting thing, I just very fast. Beis Shammai was the one who said, have you been coming call on them and been saved with one of the others? That's what's so funny.
By the way, we can
daven
mincha now.
Okay, wait. You want daven mincha now?
This is
11:39. So I just want to finish it right now. So the answer is, what do you see from this? You see from this that it has to be, the question is greater than the answer. There is an element of psak halacha that is a result, the Torah, Torah lava shamayimi, of a person's character. It was shocking to me that the Alta of Slobodka's paskening, that Mitzoy Shabbos, you have a choice between a Prusa, and a Shole. But the Prusa is a leftover from Shabbos. Here, the Prusa comes first. Prusa comes first. Why? Combination of two factors. The whole Mahus of Malava Malka is to take out from Shabbos. And number two, Kevon Abba Milsa, mitzvah, one by itself would not be enough. But during the weekday, Yikoyf Hadin Esohar. A shalem, it says in Shulchan Aruch, you have a choice between a shalem and a prusa. A shalem is a shalem. Musar, out of Slobodka was in the biggest belly, Musar. Shalem is a shalem. Don't give me this. It's a weakness. Cave under Avaba Milsa Mitzvah Leva Misachita. No. Shalem and Prusa, Shalem goes first. Narvan agrees to that. There are Gedolei Yisrael that held it even during the weekday, if you have a Prusa, the Prusa go from that's a from Shabbos, you apply the principle. Oh, but it says in Shulchan Aruch, Shalem goes first. The Shulchan Aruch is not discussing that case. Is discussing the case where everything else is equal. What is the bottom line? There is no bottom line. There is no clear psak halacha halacha lemaisa. But it's interesting how out of Slabotka you can see the musr that goes into his psak halacha. All right, we'll stop here.